as we do look to this time of year coming up to the Passover, it is a time of renewing life. As like the birds come back and life starts to grass grows, we are here to look to Passover coming up and to humble ourselves and to look to God's way and to renew ourselves and commit ourselves to that commitment that we made at baptism. We're to look at ourselves and look at our repentance, how we're growing and changing. And so today I'd like to look at a few examples of, because it does say that the things that are written in the Bible are for our example. And I think it pertains more to us today than ever before. I'd just like to look at a few examples, and probably some of these scriptures will be read at Passover that I'm going to look at, but still, they're all here for our example, and we're to look to them and to think on them. And the first one is, I'd like to turn over to Matthew 18, and originally I started off and was going to start off in one verse and go on down, but I thought, well, let's go right back to verse 1, because this is Christ talking, and it sets it up to be about being humble, being about humility here, and Christ set some great examples for that. And at this same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. So here he's setting it up that to who should be the greatest in the kingdom of God. This world looks to people with money, stature, and actually God goes the other way. God doesn't look to the greatest and the most powerful and the most wealthy. To it. And verse 3, and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you be converted, lest we be changed," which we're supposed to be looking and examining ourselves. Are we being changed? "And become as a little child, yet shall not enter into the ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, and the same is great in the kingdom of heaven." How many times, you know, we have our children, sure they do things wrong, like all of us, but yet when corrected, little children are usually very eager to change, very eager to please, and unpretentious, usually not trying to, at real small age, talk back and say, "Well, I'm not doing that this way or that way." It usually comes a little later when Satan has more influence. And are we not the same way? The older we get, the sometimes we don't become like little children. We become real big adults, and we don't want to do anything else but our own thing. "And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receives me." So here we are, if we're in the church, in God's way, we must still be willing to receive anybody as a little child. If somebody's willing to change and repent, we need to open our arms to them. And how often do when with little children, you correct them, and then they come and they want a hug, and they want up on your knee, and they say they're sorry, and each and every one of us wants the same sort of type of thing. And if, as it says, "Whoever shall receive one such little child in my name," so if we're in God's name, or Christ's name, we need to welcome all that are willing to change and go God's way. "But whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believes in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanging about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea." So there's no grandization here. Christ points out that to his disciples that they need to be, really, we need to humble ourselves, be very accepting. There's no promoting the self in God's way. And here, I think, is a great example of it. Christ points out of being as a little child. And one of the greatest examples that really gets me, I think, every time I read this and I think of it, do you think that the Creator, God, decided, and Christ gave the word, and things happened. God's He spoke, Christ spoke, and this earth was created. He spoke, and you and I were created. And you look at John 13, and starting in verse 4, I think one of the greatest examples of humility that there is, that really strikes me every time I read it anyways, that here, you know, in verse 4, he rises after supper, laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water in a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel therein he girded. Then came he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? You know, here's the worldly attitude coming out. You know, you're not going to do this to me. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do, thou know not now. And I think at that time, and in the, before we were baptized, came, God called us, we would have done the same thing if somebody come along and said, here, you sit down here and take your shoes and socks off, and I'm going to wash your feet. You would have said, get out of here, you know, you're crazy, and you would have done, had the same reaction as Peter. But then, as Christ goes on, what I do now you know not, but thou shalt know hereafter. You know, he's telling Peter, you know, you're going to understand what I'm doing later. And Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered, if I wash thee not, thou art not part of me. You know, if we want to be a part of Christ, we have to be willing to humble ourselves and be a servant and be served. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore he said, ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments, and he sat down again, he said unto them, know ye not what I have done? And I'm quite sure that they knew the physical act that he'd washed their feet, but they did not understand the spiritual implications behind it. Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. Here's the person that's said to the human race that be created. You know, God the Father said, let's make man in our image, and Christ said, it is done, and it happened. We were here on this earth. Adam was created, and then Eve, and we're here as a result of that. And here is the person that did that, and here he is on this earth washing the feet of those beings that he created. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's. Here telling us we're not better than each other, that we should remind ourselves every year that we need to humble ourselves and realize how small we actually are. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done unto you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than the Lord, neither is he that sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Are we happy? The world's not happy because they're not doing these things. They go exactly the opposite way. Everybody honors and worships the one that has the most money and the most power in this physical world, and look to them, and do they have happiness? But if, as it says, happy are ye if you do these things that Christ does, if we humble ourselves and look to God's way of doing things. And the final example here now, I'd like to turn over to Philippians 2, and starting in verse 5, down to verse 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Isn't that what we're working towards, to having the mind of Christ? Every day, like Mr. Bowles was saying, what comes out last week of us is really what's going on in our mind. So we need to be looking and trying to change and to let this mind that is in Christ be in us. who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. You know, he was equal with God the Father. He obeyed God the Father and did exactly as he said. And do we not need to be the same, to be like Christ, have that mind of following Christ, following God the Father, without any question? But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. So Christ came as a servant. Should we not come as a servant to humble ourselves, to serve one another, rather than want to be praised and look for a position of honor and glory among like what the men of this world do? It's easy. We all want to be accepted. We all want to be liked. And it's easy to get to the point where you think you're better than everybody else, but really, in all true reality, are we better than anybody else? No, we're not. Christ came and served, and he created each and every one of us. So are we to be better? No. He said we need to have the mind of Christ here. And then verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Pretty humbling thoughts there, those examples that Christ left for us, and that we should look to him and to be working towards having the humility that would let us have the mind of Christ.